If you have your Bible, won't you turn to Genesis chapter number 28 today? Go ahead. Amen. Amen, Brother Frank. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen, Brother Frank. Amen. 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 We don't get too worried about around here if somebody raises their hand or wants to give the glory. The Bible says let everything have breath, praise the Lord.
Yes.
And the Bible says that men ought to lift up hands unto God, ought to lift up their hands unto God, holy hands unto God. Praise His name for that. And if you ain't got a good case, I tell you, we're going to do something around here. I'm going to really shake it up this morning. Amen. Seemed like a good thing to do, just shake it up real good this morning. And we have something around here called a gratitude, not an attitude adjustment, but a gratitude adjustment. And we're going to do it one time with the members. And then if you're not a member and you're just visiting, you can catch in and you can get to the second. We'll just do that and kind of shake it up a little bit and get rid of all our pride and everything we think about, worrying about the beans burning on the stove and all those kind of things. And just come here to worship God this morning. So today, let's just go ahead and have a gratitude adjustment. Amen. All right. Now you know what we're going to do. So here, if you're a visitor here today, won't you just jump up with us and tell God amen. The word amen means let it be so. I agree. Let it be so. I agree. And you're just lifting hands up to God and telling Him thank you. We're going to do that this morning. Just kind of shake it up a little bit. Let's do it right now. Let's all have a gratitude adjustment. Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here today. Amen. Now all that pride is broken and set aside. Now we can go ahead and have church. Amen. All right. If you have your Bible, let's have Genesis chapter number 28 today. I want you to look at verse number 11. We'll be in this chapter preaching right down through here, the Lord willing, this morning. So look at with me in verse number 11. Let's all stand in reverence to the Word of God. Aren't you glad you got that Bible with you this morning? Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 28, verse number 11. The Bible says here, it says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillars and lay down in that place to sleep. Now notice how many times there it says place. He said he went to a certain place and he took of the stones of that place. And then the Bible says he lay down in that place. I want to preach on message today, on this thought today, on do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? And of course, this is the story of Jacob and his first coming about to know who God was. I don't want to preach on that thought today. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Nance, if you will, lead us in prayer while we all pray. Please, sir. Amen. All right. Amen. Someone says those babies in church bother me. They don't bother me. It bothers me when they're not in church. Amen. I'd rather have them at the house of God now. And any preacher can't preach over a baby ain't worth a salt. Amen. That's what they always tell us. Just go on. You know what never bothers me? Never bothers me babies crying. It always bothers me adults playing. That's what I'm about. Now, if you break up a pair of fingernail clippers or something going to do your nails, I'll pick up on that one. Amen. The babies cut somersaults over. They won't bother me a bit. So don't worry about that. And we love those babies. Amen. The mama of that baby cries, the day that baby cries, you're not bothering us. We're glad you're here this morning. Don't you know that this morning? Genesis chapter number 28. We'll look at it with me back in verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. I want to look at the person of Jacob first of all this morning that we might understand who God is speaking in the scriptures about. So you find out that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, the first thing is we find out about Jacob is found in Genesis chapter number 25 and verse number 26. The Bible says he took hold of Esau's heel. And the truth of the matter is both of them were being born at the same time, and Esau was born first. And Jacob, being his twin, was born second. And when he was born, the Bible says, as Esau was being born, that literally Jacob grabbed hold of Esau's heel. The name Jacob actually means, has the meaning of heel grabber or heel catcher. And so he grabbed hold of Esau's heal. The thing about it is we look at Jacob, we find out that Jacob was in second place. And there's a lot of people in life that are in second place. Some people say it's hard to be the middle child. I don't know. I was the last child. Amen. But I've heard people say it's hard to be the second child. Some people say it's hard to be second best. When it run the race, second is never good enough. And so we see that Jacob, in his very point of birth, he is known as coming in second place. I don't know if that affected him or not, but I do believe this. He was always jealous of what Esau had. Amen. He always wanted, even from the morning of birth, always wanted what Esau had. And so we see him in second place. Then in Genesis chapter number 27, a little bit more about him, verse number 36, the Bible said, he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And so not only was he in second place, but there was a sibling rivalry between those two all the time. Jacob and Esau were always, always fighting against each other and battling each other. And of course, Esau was a hunter. I don't believe that he didn't think way out there, a long ways out. He was only thinking for the moment. Esau was always wanting to suffice his needs at the moment, and that got him in trouble. And Jacob was always trying to find ways to take away what Esau had. Now, thirdly, we see here in Genesis chapter number 27, we see that he brought great sorrow to his parents. The Bible says in verse 24, and he said, art thou very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now, what he did there is he lied. And he brought great sorrow in the family of Isaac and his wife there. He brought great sorrow to them. He was a liar to them. Of course, his mother helped him to lie to his own father. He covered his arms there with that hairy guard, that hairy skin, to make himself as though he was Esau, because Esau was a hairy man. And so when his dad touched his arm, it felt like Esau, but he had the voice of Jacob, and yet he fooled his father. And so he brought great sorrow to his parents in that he was untruthful to them. Third, fourthly today, we see that he was a social outcast. All the way over in chapter 35 of verse 1 of chapter 35, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible said, thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And so we find out that not only was he in second place, a sibling, a rivalry and sorrow to his parents, but he's also a social outcast. He was fleeing from his brother because his brother is ready to take his life. Esau was angry with him for taking his blessing and taking his birthright. And now he's out to kill him, and he's an outcast, and he's socially an outcast. He can't even go home at this time. And then we find in verse number 10 of our passage, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, I don't want to go too far with this, but in the Bible, you can not only study the passage, but you can study the names given to the people or the names of the places that they are go to or from. And we find the name Beersheba. And Beersheba is the place of the pledge or the place of perfection. And so it's a place where in his life, that's where he was living when everything started falling apart. In other words, he left from where things would have been right and had to go to where things weren't so right. And a lot of people do that day. Things are better than they think they are. But when troubles come because of their own makings and their own dealings, and then some things thrust upon them, they many times will leave the things that are good and go to the places that are bad. We find out that Beersheba has that place of perfection or pledge, and Haran means a parched land, a place of parchment. And so he went from a place of blessing and promise to a place of parchment and dryness. Amen? So we see the conditions of the person named Jacob, that he was in a bad condition, and he's heading toward a bad place, going the wrong direction, and everything has gone wrong in his life, and he's made bad choices, and he's second in the family, and he's a social outcast, and everything's going the wrong way whatsoever. And boy, you can look around at us, maybe somebody here today said, preacher, I tell you what, I got some things in my life that's not going so good, got some things in my life that's not turned out so right. Me and my family have problems. I'd be surprised today, really, honestly, if we really raised our hands today, I'd be surprised if every family don't have something going on. Amen. Very seldom the pastor, I'll just be honest with you, I've been pastor here 16 years and I kind of found out everybody's got problems. Amen. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got something difficult. Everybody's got some heartache. Everybody's got somebody let them down. Everybody's done some mistakes. Amen. Could you say amen right there? Amen. And so I believe that there's some ways we can look at Jacob and say, you know, I can relate to him on some point or some way. And so we see the person of Jacob. In verse number 11, which we've already read, I want to read that again. The Bible says he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. Now let's look at this place. It's mentioned three times in this verse. It must be under attention right here. Let's look at this place. He came to this place, and the first thing the Bible says, he lighted upon it. He lighted upon a certain place. Now, to light on something, if you will, if I was to watch a butterfly fly around, it lighted on a flower, we'd say, well, it was lighting on a flower, had thinking maybe something's going to show up, something's going to happen there, and get some of that nectar out of that flower. And so we could say maybe he was searching something good. That was not the case of Jacob. Jacob had no desire to be where he was. He was running from his brother. He left his home. He just happened to show up on this place. Hey, he glided on a place without any desire to be there whatsoever. Just happened to be where he showed up when things started getting dark.
Amen.
The second thing I see about this place is the Bible says, and tarried there all night because the sun was set. The reason he stayed there, he lingered because it was darker out there than it was right there. It just seemed like a good place to stop. Things were dark out there. So he just kind of set up camp right here. And things are dark out there. And so we're here this morning. There's a lot of things dark out there. And there might be some people here just kind of lighted in here this morning. And it might be darker out there than it is here. And you come to church of God, church of the house of God today, just hoping maybe it'll be a little lighter in here than it is out there. It's dark out there, but maybe just a little bit better here. So you're here this morning. You may not even intend to be in here. You may not want to be here. Some of you may want to leave out right now. But whatever reason is, you're here this morning. And you have lit on this place. And you're staying here because it's darker out there than it is right here. There must be a reason you come to the house of God today. There must be a reason you come to the house of God today. And it's because it must be worse out there than it is in here. Amen. Thirdly, notice this. He says, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Notice this, that he lacked. He didn't have a plan. He didn't bring a pillow. He didn't bring a pillow. And the Bible says he went and got those stones and he started gathering up them stones and he built them around him and he made himself a pillow. Boy, that's a rough stone. That's a rough bed there, isn't it? And he made those pillows, made those stones as a pillow. And notice that he was lacking. He didn't bring anything with him to that place. He wasn't going to add anything to that place. He didn't bring anything of value to that place. He was just taking advantage of what was in that place. Amen. Now you could argue and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I would have never took a pillow stone. Well, if you didn't have a pillow, you might. Amen. There's a lot of things in the house of God. People come in and say, well, you know, the air's too hot or the seats are too hard or the thing. But what'd you bring with you?
Amen.
You understand? I mean, there's a lot of times just the things we bring with us. We're not there to, we didn't bring anything extra to church with us. And so maybe it is not everything that it ought to be as far as in our eyes, but it's because we're lacking things. We get to get what we get. Amen. We have a saying around here, and here's our saying. We get to go to church. We won't have to.
Right.
I get to go to church. Amen. Amen. And so if I, with that attitude and that desire, here he is. He didn't desire to be there, but he's there. He lit on it. He didn't plan on it. He lingered there because it's darker out there than it was there. And now he has lacked what he really needed. So he just took what was there and began to build himself a bed. And the Bible says he lay down in that place to sleep. So we see the person, and now we see the place. It's a place he didn't desire to be. It's a place that was darker on the outside. It's a place where he went that he didn't have a plan. And now it's a place where he is laying down to sleep. Notice the third thing today in verse number 12 through verse number 15. Keep your Bibles open. Notice what happens. Now, I am absolutely amazed with this portion of this passage. I want you to look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and he dreamed and behold a ladder. He dreamed and behold a ladder. Set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. In verse number 13. I want to notice the presence here that he finds in this place. He finds out that there's a presence that is purposeful. There's a purposeful presence in this place. The Bible says he began to dream and he saw that there was a ladder, behold a ladder. That ladder has steps on it. I thought about that when I read that. I thought about all the steps that God had taken care of Jacob at that point. There is a purpose in our life. The reason you're here today is because there's a lot of steps that God went through today that you might be able to be here. He kept your heart pumping last night while you weren't thinking about it. He made sure your oxygen was provided that you could be here. He made sure that you had the help to roll out of bed this morning. He had the ability to be able to have a car that you could drive to church, the house of God, or have somebody bring you to the house of God today through the van or whatever. But God made a way for you to be here. Think of all the steps that God did. There's a ladder there. He says, I see a ladder, and a ladder has a lot of steps on it to get you where you are. Now notice that. Number one, we see the steps of God's care. Number two, we see the stretch of God's Christ. The Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven, reached to heaven. Amen. Now notice that it was set upon earth, but it reached all the way to heaven. Now there ain't but one person could represent that, and that's the great advocate Christ. That's Jesus himself. And we see a ladder here that is all the way from earth, all the way to heaven. And we see here a stretched out care of God, that God has have something that can reach all the way from earth, all the way to heaven. Amen. We can't do that, but God can do that. Now the third thing we find here is, notice what it says. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now I thought that was remarkable, because it does not say they were descending and ascending. It said they were ascending and descending. That meaning they were leaving from earth and going to heaven, and coming from heaven back down to earth. Now the Bible says he gives us his angels charge over us, and they're watchers of us and take care of us, and they look over us, and the desire to see what we have. Amen. Amen. Now notice this. Jacob sees angels that are ascending from where he is and descending from where God is. In other words, they're leaving from earth to go to heaven to find out what God wants, and leaving from heaven to come back down to earth to give Jacob what he needs. Aren't you glad that God has somebody here watching over you saying, "Hi, preacher, I wish that tractor would get out of the way. I'm in a hurry to get somewhere." Hey, that tractor may be God. Maybe God planned that thing out there so you wouldn't be in some wreck somewhere. Maybe God did something that way. Oh, it may not be the way we'd have chose it, but it's the way God chose it to watch over us. Amen. Now notice this. Well, we see the steps of God's care in this ladder. We see the stretch of God's Christ in this ladder. We see the stewards of God's command, both getting the commands and bringing them to us. And we see the standing in verse number 13. Notice what it says. And behold, the Lord stood above it. There's that ladder. He sees this dream. And there's the Lord standing above that ladder. And he's looking down. And those angels are coming from the earth. And he's giving them command. And they're going back down. Up and down that ladder. And the only reason they go up and down is because there's somebody that reaches between earth and heaven. Amen. There's somebody that reaches between earth and heaven that allows the commandments of God and the care of God to be reached down to old fallen man. Are you still with me this morning? We're going somewhere. I promise you, I'm not just rambling on to something. Now notice what it says in verse number 13. It said, behold, the Lord stood above it. Not only is there a presence that is purposeful, but there's a presence in the past. Notice what he says. And he said, I am the Lord God. Now he identified himself. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. Now he said, I just want to tell you something. There's a presence always in the past. And he lets Jacob know. Remember who Jacob is? He's that fallen man. He's that bitter man. He's that one that's an outcast. He's that one that's become a nobody. He's the one that's failed and run out from things, and things aren't like they ought to be. You remember him? Well, now he begins to bring up and says, listen, I am the God of your father Abraham. Talk about his great-grandfather. I mean, his grandfather. I am the father of, you know who Abraham was before God found him? He's an idolater. He lived there as an idolater. God brought him out from his family, changed his life, gave him faith to trust in him, gave him faith to walk in the right way. He left the land of idolatry. Do you know who Isaac was? He would have to, surely his father Isaac would take him back to that day when Abraham took him upon that mountain and he carried that wood and the fire and the knife. Surely he'd tell him about that every now and then. You'd think maybe at supper time, after supper, maybe now, every now and then Isaac would talk about that day that God showed up and put a ram in a thicket and saved his life. And I believe there was some inclining they could say, listen, Isaac could say, listen, son, God inclined. He come to where I was when I needed him, and he put a ram in that thicket, and he made sure that I wasn't going to lose my life. He said, Abraham was an idolater. He said, I want to tell you, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. I was him. I went to him that was an idolater. I went to him that who needed some inclining, and I brought them out and saved them and changed their lives. He said, I want you to know that I was the presence in their past. But if thirdly, he says, I want you to know that I was the presence in the plan. There's a presence in the plan. Look at what he says in verse 13. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. He said, you know what? I made a covenant with Abraham. But he said, I'm telling you right now that I have a plan for you. Amen. I want to say this today. You may be here this morning and you say, boy, I can look over these gray-headed saints, or I remember somebody in my life that lived right, or I remember some preacher or some Sunday school teacher that helped me. And I'm telling you one thing. I appreciate them teaching me like they did, and I appreciate their consistency and all those things. But I want to say this. The pledges and the promises God made to them, God can make to you this morning. The Bible says, he looked at him and says, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I'm going to make a personal promise to you, Jacob. You who are an outcast, you who are second best, you who have stolen, you who have done it, I'm going to make a promise to you, and I'm going to give you where you lay. Notice too, look at verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And you know what he's telling me? He says, your children are going to spread out. There's going to be many of you. And there is today. But you know what? He made this promise. Jacob wasn't even married. Let me be very blunt. He didn't have a girlfriend.
Amen.
There was nobody he was seeing. There was nobody he was even dreaming of. And God's already telling him, I will bless you in a plenteous way that is far beyond your comprehension. I'll give you more than you can imagine. He said, thirdly, I want to tell you this, Jacob. Not only do there's a presence in the plan. He says in verse 14, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He said, I'm going to pick you up out of the dust and the dunghill. I'm going to pick you up out of your problems. I'm going to pick you up out of your troubles. I'm going to pick you out of your failures. And I'm going to bless the entire world through your seed. And he did through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God used Jacob. There was a presence that had a plan in that place. Look on with me in verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. There's a present presence. I am. In the Bible, when you see the I am, that means the God Jehovah, the great God. He says, I am with thee.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Not only am I going to do something, not only am I going to promise you something, I'm telling you I am presently with you now.
Right.
I'm glad I don't have God just in heaven, but I'm glad I have him with me now.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me.
Notice
what else happens. The Bible says, verse 15, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee of. And he said, there's a present in the future. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to give you everything, and I'm not going to leave you till I've done it.
Amen.
Now ask this. Was Jacob looking for this? No, Jacob wasn't even thinking about God. Jacob was just getting out of town. Jacob had gotten some dark times and distraught times. And in those distraught times, he came to a place and God began to speak to him and tell him how much he loved him, how much he cared for him, what he'd done for his father, he'd do for him, how he would stay with him. How he would make somebody out of nothing, a nobody, and make somebody out of him and do something special in his life. And here God is just expressing his love towards Jacob.
Amen.
And Jacob was not looking for God, but God was looking for Jacob.
Amen.
Notice verse 16. And Jacob, say it with me, awake. Amen. Out of his sleep. There's an awakening in his life. I thought about over in Joel chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, awake ye drunkards and weep and howl all ye drinkers of wine, because the new wine for is cut off from your mouth. People need to drink, to wake up from the drunkenness and drugs and things of this world. People need to wake up from the darkness of this world, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, the now is high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. We need to wake out of the dullness of this world, Christian. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying there was an awakening time in his life when he realized that what I have, where I've been, I didn't realize all this. He woke up out of this dream. Notice what else happened. There's an awareness. Look at verse 16. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, God's here, and I didn't know he was here. I just lighted on this place. It was dark. I was just going to spend a night. I didn't have any plan, but God's in this place. God showed up. God's here. Amen. And I didn't know it. You said, preacher, is that possible? Even Mary, Mary Magdalene in the garden didn't understand Christ was right beside her. Amen. A lot of times God is so close and we don't even understand. God has to wake us up to him. The night I got saved, Brother Freeman, 35 years ago, God woke me up on that Wednesday night and let me know that I was in a place that I didn't know God was, but he was. I was in a place where I didn't know that God was looking for me, but he was. I was in a place that I didn't know God loved me that much, but he did. I was in a place that I never saw like that before, but for the first time in my life, I realized that I was in awareness to me that God was in this place. Notice what he said in verse 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. Now the word dreadful there doesn't mean that this is an awful place to be, but it has the meaning of being a reverential fear. It means this, he's not trembling from the fact of facing hell, but the trembling from the fact of all of what heaven was like. There's a reverential fear set on him. He said, this is a special place. This is a place like none other on earth. In fact, he says, I just didn't know. He said, this is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Now notice that. He said, this is the house of God. It didn't have a big temple there. It didn't have a big sanctuary there. It didn't have a big long field of buildings and all these things. He just said God was there, and that made it God's house. Amen. God showed up there. God woke me up there. God showed me things I never saw before there. God began to open my eyes there. I didn't realize this was the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. And he names the place Bethel. Beth mean house, and El mean God, the house of God. Later on when he comes back, he calls it El Bethel. He talks about the God of the house of God. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I want to ask you this question today. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Do you know what you brought to this place? There's no telling the sound of my voice. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're a member or a visitor. It don't matter if you're a pastor or a missionary. I don't know what you brought this place. I don't know all the troubles you've got. I don't know all the sin you've got in your life. I know some. I don't know all the distraught. I don't know how you feel about being second best. I don't know about all your shortcomings. I don't know all that this morning. But let me assure you, there's somebody that does. And he knows what you brought into this place this morning. He knows what you brought into this place this morning. And I want to say this. All day yesterday, I wonder why I'm preaching this message this morning. All day. I said, Lord, why am I preaching this message this morning? And here's the thing. I don't know. But he does. Amen. And He wants you to know this morning that He has been around a long time.
Yes, sir.
And for a long time, He's been taking steps that you might take care of you till you could get to this place. And for a long time, God has had big plans. And what He's done in my life and what He's done in Brother Freeman's life, me and Brother Freeman got saved the same year. Different place at different times, but God sought us out. Amen. Brother Freddie, you saved this morning.
Yes,
same thing happened Brother Freddie's life, happened your life. God's got big plans. Listen, if he could get Abraham and bring him out of adultery, well, don't you think God could save you, change your life? If God could reach out and listen, if He could go out and show up and be in the presence of Isaac there when that knife was getting, when Abraham reached for that knife to take it, and he said, "Whoa, stop. I've got a plan for Isaac." And His presence was close. I want to ask you something. Do you know where you are this morning? Do you know where you are this morning? You're in a place where God will allow you to bring all your issues and all your troubles and all your failures and all your problems to Him. And He will come to you. And He will solve your problems.
Amen.
Make some new plans. Get you on a better path. And change the direction of your life. And it all comes because He set a ladder up and took some steps and sent some angels to watch over you till this morning, that you might come and let Jesus Christ be the one that gives you the ability to leave this world and go to that world and live with Him one day. This is a faithful saying, the Bible says, and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. And Paul says this, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say this morning?" I'm saying, do you know where you are this morning? You are in the same place that Jacob was. You are in the house of God. And God has some big plans. And His presence is here. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" He says, "We're two or three together."
Amen.
But not only that, I know because the day I got saved, God moved in. And where I am, He is. Not because who I am, because of who He is. Because He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. So wherever I am, He goes to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now I'm asking you this question again this morning. Where are you this morning? Have you just lighted on this place? I don't figure, try it out. There must be a reason you came. Physically, it's easier to sit home. Financially, you wouldn't have to spend no gas. You wouldn't have to got your clothes up, took a bath, got ready for church this morning. There must be a reason you came out from there to in here. And that reason must be that you need a place to rest for a little while. You're trying to find some friendship, some kinship, some kindness, somebody to treat you right. And although we as a church body can offer some of that, ultimately we cannot offer you what you really truly need. We can tell you about it, but I can't give it. And that is, you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior first. And then if you are saved, you need to surrender your life to His plan. To His plan, not your own plan. We are here this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm here today because I'm saved and I'm a member of this church." Then listen, why don't we get settled on that? And say, "God's got a plan for my life. God has worked out some steps. He sent a lot of people. There's a lot of people worked to get where we are. There's a lot of angels that have been real busy to get you where you are today. God's not forsaking you. We forsake Him many times. We walk against distant from Him many times. But He's not forsaking you." Now, I'm closing here this morning. The Bible says after he realized that he got oil and poured it on that rock, he said, "This is the house of God." And a lot of people read that scripture and says, if you do that, and he's not saying I'm questioning God, you know, making a deal with God. He said, "If God's going to do all that for me, if God's going to do all that for me, Now he's going to be my God. Amen. If God, that's what happened to me when I got saved. If God is willing to save me, I'm willing to be saved. If God's willing to take me, I'm willing to be taken. If God's willing to be my friend, I'm willing to have a friend like that. And that's really what it comes down to, coming to Christ. You've got to get to a point where in your life you say, well, you know what? If God is willing to do all that, I'm willing to give him nothing and take everything. Because that's really what we do. We give him nothing. And we take everything. And he gladly gives it to us. Because he loves us. Because he sought you out. Because he came looking for you. Because he's been waiting for you to get here. Just so he could tell you this morning, he has a plan. In the middle of your chaos, God has a plan. And now you have met him in this place. Let's all stand. Be honest, come this morning. Would you come get a song with her? Come get a song with her. We'll get together on the song. Come to this place. Come this time. Such a time as this. Right here, right now. No accidents. Surely you don't believe God makes accidents, do you? You don't believe God makes accidents, do you? We make a lot of accidents. God doesn't make accidents. God's got you in this place at that time. Now I'll ask you this. I asked you this morning, do you know where you are? Whether you know or not, you're in his place. You're among his people.